Today, I would like to just touch on a few thoughts about the Word of God. It's very important that we hear the Word, that we go to Sunday school, that we read the Bible, that we listen to it. And I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, I was determined to read through the Bible. But I attempted maybe 3 or 4 times, and I thought, man, it's so difficult when you go through, you know, Leviticus and especially, you know, Leviticus and some of the other books in Chronicles, and you have all these stories and all these he begot whom and he begot this person and begotten. I just got stuck, and I thought, how can I read 3 chapters of this and get anything out of it? So I developed a way that I would only read a portion of that part, and then I would go on to read something else, so I wouldn't just read that chapter, because it's hard to kneel down and pray after you've read a chapter of genealogy. It's like, who do I want to imitate here, and what did I learn, you know? But I also found that sometimes there are nuggets of gold in those genealogies, and they're all there for a purpose, because the Old Testament wants to show and helps us to understand how everything developed until Jesus Christ came, and that he was born into this world as the Son of God, and that he is indeed our Savior. Now, what God is asking us now, after we have heard the full gospel, after we see the wonderful gift of eternal life that God has for us in Jesus Christ, he has a simple request. And I want to talk about this request this morning. And that request is found in Proverbs 23, verse 26, a very short one. Give me your heart, my son or daughter, and let your eyes delight in my ways. He doesn't force you to. He doesn't demand, he's asking you, please give me your heart. And you know that our hearts are the most important things that we can give to the Lord, because that's our life. We don't want to take it lightly when we say, you know, this and this person has a heart of gold, or maybe the opposite in a negative way, that this and this person is heartless. God complained a long time ago that he had people that were named after his name, but their hearts was not with it. And I hope that we don't belong to those kind of people. He says in Matthew and also in Isaiah, these people worship me with their lips, but their heart is not in it. In other words, only speak those things to God that come from the heart. Then we have another scripture that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And it sounds like this. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. And this is in regards to the anointing of the first king of Israel, or second king of Israel. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance. Let's be careful here. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? At the heart. It's so important. Our hearts are so important to the Lord that he just focuses on our hearts. He said, this is what I want. I want what you have. I want you to give it to me because I want to bless your life, be, you know, as a result of you giving your heart to me. That's what the Lord is saying. When Jesus did his ministry on earth, he always aimed at the heart. Because religion can make us cold. Religion can make our hearts hard. That we are going through the motions and through traditions, and we're so set in our ways that the Holy Spirit, he could clobber us with a 2x4 on our heads. We wouldn't notice it because we're so hardened in our ways if we are this religious. And this is what Jesus was dealing with the people in his time. They were religious, but yet their hearts were far removed from God. When the heart is left alone, it leads us astray. And this is a reason why we need to give our hearts to the Lord. The Lord wants to give us purpose. The real purpose why he created us for. But we need to respond out of our free will. He will not force you. He will never force you. He invites us. And we are doing well if we follow that invitation. See, if we do as the world says, just follow your heart. Wherever your heart is leading you, that will be the right way. Oh, no, 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 no. That's very dangerous. Because our hearts can lead us astray. Because we have this bias. And I've talked about this bias before. The bias is that we tend to sin. And the heart is wicked from youth. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So anyone that says there is no God, that person's heart is leading them astray into a lie. And the Bible calls that person a fool. A fool is a very unwise and I don't want to use that word, but you know. A fool is simply very, very foolish. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Why? It's this bias that we were born with, this tendency towards sin. This is why we cannot rely on our own understanding, on our own hearts. We must. No, we don't must. We don't have to, but we need to give our hearts to the Lord. Then he says, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. So the Lord understands our hearts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our cries of our hearts. He knows the desperations in our hearts. He loves our hearts because he knows that we have a lot of fears sometimes in our hearts. We have a lot of doubts. We have a lot of turmoils. And as you as graduates will go through the wonderful teenage years, you will experience a lot of different turmoils, and you will have temptations, and you will get thoughts that you thought you could never dream of before. Satan will bombard you with all kinds of things, trying to extinguish the Word of God in your hearts and your minds. Don't let it happen, because God desires to have your heart. Rely on Him. Now, there's another thought why our hearts need to be given to the Lord, and that is because of unbelief. Usually unbelief is deep-seated doubt about God. And Jesus scolded people more for their unbelief than for their sins. If someone didn't believe, that was reason for Jesus to say, look, I can't do anything if you don't believe. If we want Jesus to do things in our lives, if we want him to answer our prayers, you and I need to believe that he will do it. We have to fight unbelief in our lives. There are at least several ways unbelief in the heart destroys people morally. Because sin is born in the heart, the Bible says. Matthew 15, verse 19, out of the heart of man or person proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a person. They come out of the heart. In other words, naturally, we cannot follow our hearts because it will deceive us. In Hebrews 3, verse 12, see to it, and this is a warning, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Never let unbelief take over in your belief, your life. You know what unbelief is? Not believing God. That's unbelief. You can believe in science. You can believe in all kinds of other things and that the world teaches. But if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in his promises, that's what's called unbelief. And God hates that because it hinders him from doing anything in our lives. It hinders him to answer our prayers. It hinders him to bless us the way that he desires to bless us. Sin includes wrong and evil thoughts. Very important to remember that, because it's these evil thoughts that begin in our minds and that go right into our hearts. This is why God wants our hearts, that he can step in and stop this corruption, stop this unbelief, and he can bring clarity into our lives. And Hebrews 3 verse 8, we are warned, do not harden your hearts. Now, we can harden our hearts so that nothing bothers us anymore. So that we can come to the point where our unbelief brings us to that point where whether we hear the gospel preach or whether someone is praying for us and someone is crying and pleading with us, we're just cold. See, that's where our hearts can lead us, to such hardness that there's no hope anymore. And that's the warning. And he goes on to say, as they did when they provoked me during the time of testing in the wilderness. So God really had a problem with Israel. They were plagued by unbelief. They were in the wilderness, and this was not his plan. This was not what God had intended. He wanted to bring Israel to the promised land that he had promised their forefathers many, many years earlier. And yet because of unbelief, in Hebrews it's repeatedly said, because of their unbelief, they had hardened their hearts, God could not bring them into the promised land. And I would like to suggest that if we surrender our hearts to the Lord, if we say to the Lord, take my heart and make it pliable, make it soft for your word, so that I bear fruit for God, that I honor God with my attitudes, with my life, then the Lord can bring us to that promised land. Not only eternity, but also the promised land in this life, which is a life of blessings in spite of sufferings, a life of joy that never ends. It is impossible to have faith unless we first hear God's word. And as Sunday school students, you have heard God's word. Whether you always paid attention, well, that was up to you, right? But it is your responsibility now that as you have learned the word of God, and this goes for all of us, that our faith is increased, our faith is supported and nourished and strengthened. Because as we saw in this picture with the sponges in the water, the sponges soaked up the water. Why? because on their own, they were dry. One even dry and dirty. But the water as the word of God, you see, we drink in that water of life when we occupy ourselves with the word of God. When we keep listening and asking God every time we come to hear a message that we say, Lord, speak to me. I am hungry. I am thirsty for you. I need to hear a word from you. And that we, like a dry sponge, we just soak it up. And you know what? We pastors notice it when the word of God, when the sermons are accepted and soaked up. I notice it. I can feel it. I can sense it when the message resonates, when the message is received. I can also sense it when the message is resisted. Oh yeah, that's not a good feeling. But unbelief will ruin a person's relationship with God, where belief in God, when we submit our hearts to the Lord, will refresh it. What does God plan to do with our hearts? Well, first, he wants to give us a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, David prayed in Psalm 51. He wants to give us a new heart that is focused on him. And then he wants to cleanse our hearts in such a way that his glory can be transmitted from him to us. In Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not only see God in eternity, we know that that's coming, but that we see God in a sense, we see God in our lives. We see him work in our lives. We see the Holy Spirit manifest himself in our lives. We have answers to prayers. We pray through situations and we see God in everything. Seeing God is not possible with our natural eyes, but with our heart eyes, it is possible. And I pray that every one of us will have such a heart that Christ can rule in our hearts. He can be the boss. That we can actually say, Lord, you be the boss. You be my master. You be my leader. You know, in preschool and kindergarten, you've learned, follow the leader. Follow the leader. And that goes throughout life with Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. It says, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Let's stop here right now. The kingdom of God is not like a dramatic thing that we will see in the sky or this. And then he goes on to say, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The other translation says it's in your heart. As we give our hearts to Christ, he then wants to rule it, because we are then transplanted into his kingdom. And when he gets to rule it, he becomes master and Lord of our lives. It's very important that we distinguish here, that we not only allow Jesus to give us a new heart, to accept Jesus into our hearts, like the saying goes, I accepted Jesus into my heart. But is he Lord and Savior, or Savior and Lord of your life? Because Christ in his kingdom needs to rule in our hearts, or otherwise we're not part of his kingdom. You see, if we don't allow him into our hearts, if we don't allow him to rule our hearts, he will one day have to say, go away from me. I don't know who you are. And here's the secret of the believer. Christ in us, he lightens our life. He lightens our hearts. He gives us that candle inside with a clean heart. And then he wants to use us as this light for others to shine so that many others can come to Christ. And one day we can all meet in heaven because of Jesus and his word. And this is my prayer, that today none of us, and also the students in the Sunday school, none of us would harden our hearts. We wouldn't come to the point that we say, well, I'm so used to it. I know this already. I can say this off my memory. No, that we take it to heart and say, yes, my heart belongs to Jesus. My heart is pliable. My heart is in God's hands, and he wants to form it. He wants to put his image into my heart. Is that your desire today? Does your heart really belong to Jesus? If you don't, give it to him today. Because our text says, give me your heart, my son or daughter. Give me your heart and see what I will do with it. Trust him for that. And he will make a wonderful life out of your heart and out of your life. God bless you. Amen.